lot of people who are coming back from the military suffer from this. It's the phantom syndrome, when they have an arm or a leg or a finger that's amputated or is gone, and they still feel like it's there, and they try to itch it and scratch it. For some reason, this past week, I felt like my hair has been out of place all week. I have found myself, y'all, and I'm serious. I'm not trying to make a lie. I'm serious. I have tried to fix, you know, y'all know how y'all are, especially you women. Some of y'all, you know, you're always, you know, flicking your hair. Well, I used to flick my hair. It used to be just like Griffin's. That's right. Hey, you might have a good-looking hair like me one day, Griffin. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, and hold your finger there. We're going to be flipping to another scripture that complements this scripture, so just hold on. The past several weeks, we've been dealing with issues concerning salvation. We've seen that we can know for sure that you're saved by the grace of God. Amen. Yes, you can. We've learned what we all should be doing after salvation, and that's finding service for the Lord. Every single one of us should be doing something for the Lord. Every single one of us should be doing something for the Lord. There we go. We've learned that we're going to fail God. And last week we learned that real joy, genuine joy, comes from following the commands of Christ. And His greatest command was to love ourselves the way we ought to love ourselves, right? No, we're to love others the way Christ loves us. Now, this morning, we're going to take a few steps back to the very beginning of salvation and deal with an issue that is fundamental to salvation and to serving God. Two of probably the most important things that we'll ever do in all of our lives, is to accept Christ as our personal Savior and to serve Him for the rest of our lives. As you've heard your preacher say many, many, many times, God created us from the top of our head to the tips of our shoes to serve Him. And if you're not serving Him, you're wasting precious air. There's no reason for God not to go ahead and take you home. As a matter of fact, I don't know why He don't take you home if you ain't doing nothing for Him. I'm talking Georgia, you know, Savannah vernacular. You know, did y'all catch all that? So this morning, we need to understand what we're going to be talking about is very essential to both salvation and to serving. If you don't have this one little cog in the wheel, it might keep you from accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And I promise you, if this cog is not in the wheel, it's going to keep you from serving Christ the way you ought to serve Him. Well, Brother Kyle, what is it? Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. We're going to go to Matthew here in a second. Luke chapter 17, verse 5 says this. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. That's a pretty good thing to ask of Jesus, isn't it? Increase our faith. Please increase our faith. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the Lord said, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, verse 18. Matthew chapter 17, verse 18. Now, a mulberry tree is a pretty big tree. Any of y'all have any? Does anybody have a mulberry tree here? No, Charlie's got a mulberry tree? They get up to 50 feet in height. It's a big tree. Now, look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 18. Then Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And from that moment, the boy was healed. Then the disciples approach Jesus privately and says, why couldn't we drive it out? Jesus said, because of your little faith, he told them. For I assure you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd still us for these next few moments. God, help us to understand that this is something very important. We're talking about faith this morning. Help us, Lord, to concentrate, to fully focus on you for the next few minutes. because this is important, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have ever been asked a loaded question? Any of y'all ever been? Now, I imagine all you men ought to be raising your hand. Keith, listen, you ought to be raising your hand, brother. Both hands. I've been asked many loaded questions. Have you ever been asked a question that when you hear the question, you know there is not going to be a right answer? You know it. Jim, has Janelle ever looked at you and said, honey, do I look fat in this dress? Amy's asked me that. She'll, honey, do I look fat in this dress? And I'm like, okay. Scripture says that liars will find their place in the lake of fire. And the wrath of God is here on earth with Amy. How do you answer that question, Gary? I mean, that's a tough question. I mean, you like bite your jaw, or John, you bite your tongue, or fall down or something. You get laryngitis all of a sudden. This is a hard question. This is one that you don't want to answer. Here's another one that I love. I love this. My wife will ask me, honey, what do you want to get the children for Valentine's Day? Oh, listen, or for Easter, or for the 4th of July, or Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, or St. Patrick's Day. I mean, what do you want to get them? And this is the way men think. Nothing? I mean, come on, Valentine's Day. I love my kids, but I don't love them that much. The whole premise behind Valentine's Day, Luke, is to give it for, you know, you get your lover, your girlfriend, your honey, sweetheart, your boo, right? That's what, you get them something. I don't want, I mean, Kyle, he's not my boo. He's not my baby. But, I mean, you go to all these department stores. Valentine's Day was a couple weeks ago, and they've already got Easter stuff out and St. Patrick's stuff. I mean, what are you going to get them? Nothing. No, but you can't say anything. You just withhold the funding, right? Or try to. Church, I was asked a loaded question not too long ago. I was asked by another pastor. Now, get this. If I believe the Bible was true. Now, this is a pastor asking another pastor, me. Brother Kyle, do you think the Bible is true? Well, of course I said, yeah. He said, from cover to cover, all of it. All of it. Do you believe all of it is true? Now, let me ask that question to you. Do you believe the Bible is true? Cover to cover. All of it. Cynthia, even the maps and the table of contents. You believe all that's true, right? I do too. I do too. Now, if the Bible is true, then in light of this morning's scripture, talking about moving the mulberry bush and moving the mountains, if all of this scripture is true, what does that say about our faith? What does it say? We could tell a mountain, according to this scripture, we could tell a mountain to move, and it would. We could tell a mulberry tree, be uprooted. Uprooted. Any of y'all ever had tried to dig up a 50-foot tree? I mean, it's not real fun with a sapling. A 50-foot tree, uproot it, Bob. If our faith is the size of a mustard seed, it's about the size of a pen print, the end of a pen. What does that say about our faith? If this scripture's true. Now, can I tell you, this is me. Can I tell you that this scripture at one point caused your pastor great spiritual problems? It did. Because I believe this, you know, the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. I've been taught that ever since Calvin Morrow was my preacher, and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior at the age of 19. I believe the Bible from cover to cover, table of contents to the book of maps. Hey, listen, I believe it. Well, if this is true, what's wrong with me? Church, if this scripture is true, which I believe it is, then we have some real problems. Y'all with me? I think I've got y'all's attention this morning. Y'all look like y'all are wanting to pay attention to this. Any of y'all ever had questions about this scripture before? Why can't I move them mountains? Why can't I uproot that mulberry bush? Jesus says he is who he said. Why can't I do it? If this scripture is true, church, there's some real problems. What are the problems? Number one, if this scripture is true, our faith and our faith is strong the way it ought to be, to be able to move these mountains the size of a mustard seed. It's not much, just a little bit. If our faith is just a little bit and we aren't moving these mountains, then that makes Jesus a liar. Y'all with me? That's a real scriptural problem. If I do have faith, Steve, the size of a, I mean, little tiny, just a little bit, and I can look at that mountain and say, move. I can look at that mulberry tree and say, be uprooted. And neither happens. Doesn't that make Jesus a liar? We've got a big scriptural problem this morning, don't we? Now, y'all hold on. Y'all don't, okay, we're going to have a meeting. We're going to run this preacher out here. And look, no, y'all just hold on, okay? But I just want you to agree with me. If this scripture's not true, it makes Jesus a liar, doesn't it? Now we can move forward. If Jesus, the second real problem is this. If Jesus really moves mountains for those who have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and we don't see the mountain move, that is a real spiritual problem as well. Because when we claim this scripture and don't see movement, our faith falters. We lose faith in Christ. Some don't believe he is real because he did not move that mountain when they put their faith in him. They turn around, leave Jesus, and never return to him ever again. That's a real scriptural problem, isn't it? Well, hold on a second. I believed in your Jesus. I had faith in him. I know my faith isn't all that great, but I had faith the size of a mustard seed, Luke. And I looked at that mountain and I said, mountain, move. And the mountain didn't move. Jesus is a liar. I don't want to have anything to do with this fake religion. I'm out of here. That's a real scriptural problem, isn't it, Miss Janelle? So what is the problem here, Christians? What in the world is the problem? Is Jesus a liar? Is our faith always so weak that we're ineffective to do anything? Or are we looking at this moving of the mountain the wrong way? Could it be that we're looking at it the wrong way? Well, let me ask the second question here this morning. Why don't we see mountains move? Is it possible that they... Yeah, Jesus, Gary, Jesus said, if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, those mountains will move. Those mulberry trees, they'll be uprooted. If Jesus said it, I believe it. You can count on it. You can go to the bank with it, amen? Then why don't I see it? Why don't you see it? Could be, church, there's many answers to this question. So if you really have the, you want to know the answer to the question, why aren't these mountains moving for me? You might want to listen to these explanations. Number one, it could be the obvious answer that this scripture dictates or gives to us today. Our faith is too small. Y'all got that, right? If you don't have faith the size of a mustard seed or under, you ain't ever going to see a mountain move. You're never going to see a mountain move. Church, to be a mountain mover, you have to have just a little bit of faith. But still, we must possess faith in Christ. We must believe that he is who he said he is and can do what he says he can do. Or we will not see mountains moved ever in our lifetime. Church, our faith comes from sight. That's one of our biggest problems. Well, if I don't see it, I can't believe it. You're going to live a very minuscule spiritual life if that's the way you believe. Because very seldom do you ever see it here. Very seldom do you ever experience it here. And that's the way we as humans are. We are push button. We want to see the immediate effect. We want to see a response right after we pray. We want to see God move the way we want God to move. Right? It's not going to happen. Now, the second reason we might not be seeing these mountains move is this. It could be that we don't see mountains move because our faith is... Let me start over. Second reason we don't see mountains move could be that our faith is good, but our location is bad. Y'all with me, youth? Y'all stay with me. Could be that our faith is good, but our location is bad. Let me ask you this. Why in the world do you think God would move a mountain for any of us if we're living our lives contrary to the Word of God, what the Word of God plainly tells us to live? Why? Why in the world do you think, God, please move this mountain for me, but I'm going to the club Friday night. God, please move this mountain for me. I'm going to live the way I want to, but I want you to live, move this mountain. Why? Do you think God's going to move a mountain for you and you're living contrary to the Word of God? Well, Brother Kyle, it's my opinion. Listen, God could care less about your opinion. This book, 66 Love Letters, tells you how to live. Well, I think it's okay to do so and so. Well, if God's Word says it's not okay, it's not okay. Right? Brother Kyle, you're just out of touch with culture and reality. Call me what you want. When we stand before the Lord, let's see who does better. Well, you think you're better than me. No, I don't. I'm just telling you, I'm standing with the Word of God. You stand with the world if you want to. Third reason that we don't see mountains move, could it be that we who have faith to see them move, we've got enough faith, but we're looking in the wrong direction? Could it be? Now, I told y'all last week, when you're driving up, y'all know when y'all go up to worship the mountains, I think you went to Wyoming. No, you went Wyoming? No. Utah. Listen, in the fall, all the senior adults go up to worship the mountains, to turn in the leaves is what they call it. That's a Jewish holiday, right? You ride up and you go 77, or you go 95 to 26 and take 26 all the way to 40, and you... But on the South Carolina, North Carolina border, right before you get to it, you can see the what? You can see the silhouette of the mountains. That's exactly right. Now, when I was a child, we had one of those station wagons that looked like a tank. We called it Old Blue. Y'all ever have those? That thing was high tech. Dad had a button in the front he could push, and it'd roll the back window down. I'll never, y'all remember that? It had knobs right behind the driver's seat that would open the side windows. I mean, I thought that thing was just like a spaceship. I love that thing. It would do all kinds of stuff. It had a hatch in the very back. You lift. It was a secret FBI compartment that you could run moonshine and drugs and stuff. You know, spare tire too. But you could get and lay down in that without a seatbelt. Can you believe that, Bill? I mean, police didn't used to pull us over. But anyway, we had this car. And as we were going to the mountains every year, every August, to pick blackberries and blueberries and to get chiggers all over our body, Dad and Mom would be sitting in the front, and Memory and I would be sitting in the back. That's my sister. Now, they were facing straight ahead, and we were facing this way. So unless our parents turned around and looked at us and said, hey, there are the mountains, we wouldn't see the mountains for another 30, 40 minutes. Y'all with me? Our focus was behind us. And behind us was the flat land of South Carolina. Could it be that our focus isn't in the right direction because we're not seeing the mountains move? Now listen, I believe that we've got a good bunch of Christians in here tonight, this morning. And tonight we'll have a greater group. I mean, we'll have some faithful Christians here tonight. And we'll have Brother Frank, he'll have the core group Wednesday night. And I believe that we've got some people in this church who have this faith the size of a mustard seed, but I think that our direction might be turned the wrong way. Well, church, listen, there have been very few times, church, that I've asked God to move a mountain, that I've looked right in front of me, right that moment, and seen the mountain move. Very few times. Maybe not at all. Why? God, please move this mountain in front of me. I can't handle it anymore. Please move this mountain. Still there. Why don't I see that mountain move? Is he a liar? I don't think so, church. Isaiah 5, 8 through 11 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." This declaration, for as heaven is higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as the rain and the snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth, and the word and making it germinate and sprout, and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper what I send it to do. Church, God does not do things the way we want Him to do. He does things the way He knows they need to be done. When you pray to God to move that mountain and you open your eyes and that mountain has not moved, it's because it's not time to move. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, you're a fool. Secondly, if we want to become mountain movers, and I believe everybody who calls himself a Christian, I mean, they have faith. I believe they do. If you want to become mountain movers, we have to pray to the mountain mover and have faith he is going to move those mountains in times. Do you hear me? Listen to these scriptures, church. Let us pray fervently, knowing that God hears the prayer of the righteous. Proverbs 15:29. The affected, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. James chapter 5, verse 16. Let us all understand that prayer is a humble request, a recognition of God's sovereign power. With Christ, we must pray nevertheless, not for my will, but yours to be done. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And we know that all things, work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, not your purpose, His purpose. Romans 8, 28. God has a time, and it's not your time. It doesn't even resemble, doesn't even look like what you would call your time. Thirdly, I told you that I couldn't see God move mountains in my life as I looked forward. Not very often. Maybe not at all, church. Can I tell you that as I look back, though, as I look in the rearview mirror of my life, I can see those mountains move. And let me tell you, He moved many mountains that I didn't even ask Him to move. We have this sight problem. I'm looking like this. Where's God? Why don't you move this mountain? And we have this problem, Jennifer, where we don't want to look in the rearview mirror. Do y'all realize this morning, I told Wayne this. Where's Wayne? He's out back. Oh, well, I don't know. Pray for him. I backed out of the driveway, and we've got this thing in the Prius. It's a camera. I wasn't paying attention to the camera. I was just backing out. I had something on my mind. I had Jesus on my mind. I did. And I looked up, and I was about this close to hitting a red truck parked at the end of the driveway. You know why? I was looking ahead, not behind. When you're backing up, you better be looking behind, church, or you're going to run into something, right? Our focus needs to not only be forward, but it needs to be backward, because we can see mountains move all day, every day when we look back. Very seldom do we see them, Keith, when we're looking forward. You know why? Because forward, we want now, 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 now. Okay, now. Okay, Jesus, well, I don't believe in you. If you're not going to fit my time schedule, I don't believe you anymore. Y'all got that script? Jesus doesn't work that way. He doesn't wear a watch. I can't wait to get to heaven, because there's a lot of things that here on earth, they're not up in heaven. No watches. No light switches. No ugly people. Y'all are, listen, everybody's going to be beautiful in heaven like us, brother. Everybody. I don't know where in the world I was going with that. Listen, we need to see God move and prove that God's moving. Or he's a liar, right? We need to look at our focus. Listen to me, church. There's times in times past I couldn't see God move, but I want to tell you some mountains that he moved. Can I tell you some mountains that he moved? Listen to me. There was a time when I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't want to live anymore. And I was just about ready to take my life. Now I want to live for Jesus more than anything else. As I look forward from that point to where I was, and I couldn't see Jesus moving the mountain. But as I look back, Jesus moved that mountain. That's a mountain moved. Listen, I could have been with a friend of mine who left a party. He got mad and got upset. He left the party. He was walking home. A car topped a hill, didn't see him, and ran him over, killed him, dead. I could have been with him. Now, I don't know how y'all look at that, but I look back. As I look forward, I can't see anything. I see heartache, struggle, turmoil. But as I look back now, I wasn't there. God moved that mountain for me. I could have been there. Listen, church, I was driving in a condition that I shouldn't have been driving in when I was 19 years old. I can take you to the place right now in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and I've shown my children where I ran through a stop sign, my Mazda GLC station wagon, that was a cool car back in those days, listen, spun sideways and was dangling the back part off the cliff. Now, as I looked then, I was like, whoo, boy, I dodged a bullet. Dodged a bullet. Forward. But now as I look back, God moved a mountain for me. I should have been dead. But he moved a mountain. I didn't even pray about that one, Gary. That's a good one. Listen, there's more. My sister was in a car. She was driving in a state in which she shouldn't have been driving. Left a place that she shouldn't have been. Never should have been there. Brother, she got in her car and I blacked out. Next thing she knows, she is laying in the street next to I-77. Her car is upside down. Her shirt has been cut, and she's been pulled out of the car, and there's gas smelling everywhere. There's nobody around. To this day, we don't know who drove up and pulled her out of the car. We don't have a clue who it was. God moved a mountain. She should have been dead. As we look with our tunnel vision from, you know, here to just a couple of days ahead, listen, we don't see that mountain move, but as we look back, God moved a mountain. Listen, this is a big one for me. Y'all know this. This isn't any, you know, FBI information. I am a preacher married to a school teacher. When the stock market goes up and down, Miss Janelle, we don't get upset. You know, when gold plummets, you know, it doesn't hurt our pocketbook, Keith. We don't have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But can I tell you, listen to me. When my children were small, I used to worry. Because I'd look ahead. I've always tried to, I'd try to squirrel away a little money for this and this and this. I still do. But I try to set things, and I'd look ahead knowing my children, good gracious, we had them about a year and a half, 2 years apart. Oh, my, what in the world are we going to do? College was out of the question. Y'all going to have to get your own scholarships. You know, we'll help you get them. But I'm not thinking there. I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to pay to get these kids' teeth cleaned? Cavities filled. God did it. Y'all can call that what you want. That's a mountain for me. Hey, listen, I then I looked, how in the world are we going to get braces on all three of these kids? Y'all price braces lately? Preacher, school teacher, we ain't got that kind of money. But we did. And listen, Ricky, three cars for children? How in the world, God, are we going to do it? I didn't think it was possible. That was a mountain for me, and he moved it three times. And the insurance. We won't even talk about that. He moved that mountain time and time and time again. Every time I've prayed about God to move a mountain, he's never, ever done it in my time, but he's always done it in the rearview mirror. Listen to me. Just as I look at the mountains in North Carolina, amen, look in the mountains when I get to the North Carolina-South Carolina border, I see those mountains. Those mountains are beautiful, but they're dangerous. They're scary to me. But as I turn around and I look at the flat land, I know what God can do to mountains every single time. And all it takes, Christians, all it takes, church, is faith the size of a mustard seed. Church, I don't know what kind of mountain you're facing this morning, but I do know this. If you will faithfully bring your prayers to God, he will move that mountain in his time. The question is, will you trust the mountain mover to move your mountain? Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this message. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to have the size of faith the size of a loaf of bread. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to have faith the size of a car. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that all we have to do is have faith the size of a mustard seed, and you'll move mountains for us. And you have, and you will, God, because you love us. Help us, Lord, to see you and to feel you this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? Amen.